This week, we ponder how cool a character Rhea Royce was for all of a minute she was on screen. We say goodbye to young Rhaenyra and Alicent, and we reckon that if you're invited to a wedding in Westeros, maybe give it a miss, especially if your name's Joffrey. Welcome to Bastards and Broken Things. Yes, hello, lovely listeners. I am your host, Sir Len, and today I'm joined by the lovely Lady Baron.
Hello.
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 And, of course, it's Bronze John.
Hello there.
About to take a sip of his little vodka drink. Yes.
It's quite classy for me, actually, I think, vodka. I always just drink out of the toilet before this, but, you know, it's
right. Drinks out of the trough, of water outside the house.
Yes.
How are we all getting on? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. It's got cold here, just to circle back to the weather, we always do.
Why do we always talk about the weather? It's mental. It is so mental.
It's gone chilly, like that. It went from hot to cold really quick. There was no transition. But yeah.
So like when you're trying to chat up Lucy in a bar.
I mean, yeah. It's been a while. I can't remember what the transition was like.
Jesus. I've got a confession.
It's not related to that, is it?
Oh, here we go. I fucking knew it. I knew this was going to come up.
No. I've had a maester coming to me late at night. For some leechings.
Oh, I knew it. I'm
not in a good way, I have to say. I've got the plague, potentially.
Well.
Or at least it feels that way, you know. I've got a cold, that's right. But the show must go on. It must go on.
No, good on you, mate. Good on you.
Yeah.
I had some serious worry that I'd have to host this pod.
Read the notes.
It is just reading the notes, but then I'd look at it and you know what Len's notes are like. You know, there's misspellings.
Shambles.
The misspellings are my favourite.
What the hell was this?
Just read it verbatim.
Yeah.
That would be really funny. Actually
be quite a good pod, actually.
It would be well funny.
I went through last night and corrected all the spelling errors just in case I had to send them to you.
If you didn't make it through the night, someone could carry on for you.
They could translate my scribblings. Anyway.
But Mushroom said.
Oh, God, Mushroom. Why does he feature so much? And Mr.
We'll get
Jingles,
on to him later.
Funny.
Oh, yeah, Patchface. That was, I'm surprised no one wrote in and said, you guys are absolute hacks. Me going, I think his name's Mr. Jingles.
I was shouting as I listened. I was like, his name is Patchface. His name is Patchface. And then you didn't hear.
Anyway, we're here to dive deep into episode 5 titled We Like the Way. Of course, We Like the Way is the house motto of House Hightower. So I quite like that.
I thought you'd forgotten there. Oh, this is going to be a long pod. Fucking hell.
It is. I'm sorry, dear listeners. It really is. Right, let's just get on with it. What's the score for this episode? The halfway point of the season. I'm going to kick it off with Lucy.
4. Next. I'm going to get this going. 4 blue roots.
Jesus Christ.
Big fan.
Yes, it was. I thought this episode was the most plot-driven episode probably so far. Everything that happened was kind of in service to where I assume the plot is going. Lots of exciting and sort of noteworthy moments, some really good performances from various actors, and I enjoyed it. I can't see this season having a 5 bloop for me, I have to say. I just don't know that I care enough about any of the characters for it to move me enough to give it 5. That's not really a criticism. It's just, I don't know, we're halfway through and I just haven't had that sort of feeling it. But it was, I thought I enjoyed it. And I, as I say, I feel like we're actually getting somewhere now.
Mm. I'm impressed by the cynicism to have already scored the rest of the season.
I just giving my prediction.
Less than five bloobs. That's good. That
I hope. Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, kids. What's your favourite episode thus far, Liz?
The thing is, every episode that occurs, I'm like, there, that's the best one. And then the next one, I'm like, no, that's probably actually the best one. And then, I think I liked episode 3. What happened in episode 3?
Yeah, see, that was my least favourite.
Not that one then.
No, that was the worst.
I know. I enjoyed this. I genuinely did, because there were just quite a few moments for me that kind of developed the characters. And like I say, I feel like we're getting somewhere with the plot. I will be sad to see the back of Rhaenyra and Alicent in their current guises, because I think the performances have been really strong and they've developed as the series has gone on. But yeah, I think I did enjoy this episode. It's hard to sort of remember. I think because none of them have made that much of an impact on me, it's hard to go, oh, actually, episode 2 where this happened. I'm like, no, my brain is fucking scattered, so I don't remember every single episode.
Jesus.
Sorry, but yeah. To conclude, don't know. Always the same.
Okay.
Don't know wasn't there.
Let's move on to Bronze John. Bronze John, your thoughts on this episode, please. Yeah. After that rousing words of encouragement from Lucy for the whole season.
Well, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but can I hear more from Lucy, please? So, yeah, look, four bloob, I think. But this is going to sound weird. I feel like I could score the rest of the season, because we are doing that now, right?
Prediction.
I reckon every episode after this could be a 4, and then I'd end up scoring the season a 3. It's really weird, right? Doesn't make any sense.
I kind of know what you mean though, because when you take it as a whole, like you can look at the episodes and think, yeah, that acting was good, like special effects, whatever, dialogue, but then as a whole, maybe it hasn't grabbed you. So yeah, I can see why you would predict that.
Yeah. This felt like more of a Game of Thrones-esque episode. Like,
there was a wedding, so,
well, there you go, yeah. The Green Wedding. Let's get it out of the way now. That first scene, just outside the veil, that's a 0 bloob. That was awful. That was fucking terrible.
When it happened,
I was like, right. I can't believe it didn't come up in the hot take. I thought that was going to come up where YouTube are going to be like, Jesus, McCann is going to hate that. Because I fucking did. It was terrible.
Yeah. Why did you hate
it? Terrible. Because it was just shit. It was like...
The way that Daemon stood there is a bit random. It's a bit like...
Word. What is this? Hooded. It's better than hooded this, as well. Isn't it? Yeah, Hooded Justice. It's better.
Yeah, I knew
than
you
were
going to say that.
Yeah. Just like, so she's riding around and she's supposed to be a bit of a badass, and then he does a little bit of a movement and she fucking just falls over and she's dead. Like, oh, go away.
It seemed like he bewitched the horse, because he did the hand thing like he was fucking Magneto. So it felt like he was doing a spell on the horse.
On the horse. Do you know what? No, I'll accept that. I'll accept that. That's in the writing. So Daemon turns up, he does a spell on the horse, and then his
wife falls over. He was wearing a cloak like a wizard.
And he's dead. Yeah, terrible.
Read between the lines.
Yeah, that was awful. But I quite like the wedding scene. I quite like the interactions. It's nice to know that there's a character out there that has absolutely zero control of his emotions and has a fiery temper. Enough to smash the shit out of someone's face. I mean, that's a bit over the top, isn't it? Like, how strong is he really? He's not the Mountain, is he?
He's got mail on, though. He's got armour on. That would cave in someone's head.
No, I don't think it would. It would.
It genuinely would.
He knows.
He knows.
I mean, testing him.
Big
you
time.
Need to, yeah. Len on Patreon just smashing the shit out of someone's head.
Don't undermine. Okay. Don't underestimate the rage and the energy of the incel vibe that he was giving at that point. You know, you're committing a hate crime. You've been cuckolded.
Fucking
kind of. we'll get onto that.
These are the things that are going to get us banned. So, you know, you've got you throwing around inbred with Daemon.
Sorry, the Targaryen's not inbred.
And now Crispy. Crispy's a fucking incel.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did he say? A cuckold.
And he committed a hate crime.
A lusty cuckold. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah. Hashtag woke. Okay, we're just trying to get the conversation going.
No, that's fair. But no, look, I thought it moved it along as it needed to. I will say, I think the handling of fucking Viserys, it's like he's fucking dead every scene, and then he's not.
I did think he had died, and it faded to white.
He's in the next episode as well. It's like, what's going on?
But the next time you see him at the wedding, he looks in such good health. I'm like,
he looks too good. No, I agree. He looks too good.
He's well jolly as well.
I was like, is this a flashback? Or I'm so confused.
Yeah, Aaron said this is a dream. This is a dream because he's dead. I was like, it's not a dream.
He's dead.
It's not dead. It's a dream. Yeah.
It's not dead.
Just weird. But all in all, I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed the ending. Some of it feels a bit like, okay, well, I'll just let it go, which is never a good sign in the first season of a show. But that's it. That's four bloobs from me, Len.
Lovely stuff. Well, I'm going to, once again, surprise, surprise this season, give another episode four blueberries. We talked last week about the show, Game of Thrones, thriving on moments. And I feel like House of the Dragon here has tried to recapture a bit of that Game of Thrones magic with the moments that are memorable. With, guess what? A wedding. If you're going to go in on a wedding scene with Game of Thrones. And I thought that whole sequence was excellently constructed to tap into that Westerosi fear of what happens at these celebrations. Even though in the book this doesn't happen the way it does here, I was still on edge because I was just like, something's going to kick off here. I don't know what, but something is going to kick off. And I really like the way that they're playing with the source material, so it keeps us guessing, the book readers guessing a little bit, whilst not completely disregarding the books entirely. I think the standout in this episode is Alicent and Crispin. Crispy McCrisperson.
So isn't his name Criston? Do you just call him Crispin as a joke?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Lucy, episode two, Damon's like, oh, it's Sir Crispin.
I think we've sort of covered that. I don't really remember much, as you know, week to week. Apologies. Yeah. Crispy, carry on.
I drink and I don't know things.
I drink and I forget.
So he goes from having like a soap opera sort of romance scene on a boat to like a sort of downbeat confession.
Cuckold.
And then basically blind rage against Joffrey's head. And I thought all three of them, he had like basically ridiculous range to deal with in this episode, even a suicide attempt. So look, I thought it was a big week for the lad, and I thought he did a fantastic job, because we're getting so much of that character that you just don't get in the book at this stage. It's all like just lines, and he's had such a fucking crazy plot line to deal with. Yeah, you get that script through your door, you're like, what the... But I was just, what the fuck's going on in this next scene?
All at once for him, when all he's had to do really before is brood.
Yeah, and look, I actually really like his character. I mean, I don't defend his actions at the end of the episode, but I will say that I have some thoughts on it, and we can get onto that.
Are
in
you
the
defending him, yeah?
We'll get onto that in the old the plot synopsis. I also thought, just as a quick mention, because I know we've been bagging Raymond Duarte a lot this season, I thought the music when Alison enters the room in her green war gown, I'm going to call it. I thought dress. That was phenomenal. I also thought, yeah, dress. I also thought the use of music at the end with the juxtaposition of the quick wedding and Sir Crispy trying to like seppuku himself was quite brilliant as well. So I actually think he's developed some good themes here. But that's my thoughts. Four bloobs again. Once again, nothing hitting that five. Still, Lucy is right. Maybe the whole season's a four.
Do you think a five is coming, Len? What do your waters tell you?
my waters tell me that it's not coming.
Yeah, see?
It's not coming.
Lucy the frog knows.
yeah, Lucy the frog knows. I don't know. Like, look, as I've said before, traditionally episode 9 is where they really go all out. So let's see what happens. Maybe the episode where Viserys dies, and that's not a spoiler because it's coming.
What do you mean?
What?
I mean, he's been dead, like you said, 10 times already.
We'll talk about it in the main thing, but he's got to survive another 4 episodes for that to happen. So
definitely not.
Fucking hell. Anyway, let's move on to the plot, but first, a quick advert break. Yes, quick advert here, just to say, if you are listening to either Bastards and Broken Things or Fan Critical or one of our many other channels where this content is posted, please do subscribe and share, of course, because we really would appreciate that. Of course, if you want to go even further and support us more, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical, just like Melanie has. Melanie, welcome to the Patreon fan club. We really do appreciate your support. We have some kind words for you, which I've shoved into the feedback section this week, so we'll get on to those later. But thank you for joining the Patreon and for giving us some lovely monies to produce content for you.
Thank you, Melanie. Isn't
that right, guys?
Thank you very much, Melanie.
Appreciate you.
Absolute legend.
We love you.
Yeah, we do. Respect. And respect to all our other Patreons,
respect.
Too. Respect,
yeah.
Man. Yeah. Respecty. Yeah, and that's just to say, if you want to be a Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical, and there are tiers on there. You do get access to, you know, a few years worth of bonus content, some short pods, all that sort of jazz. So patreon.com.
Commission a pod.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
That's good.
So look at that's that one.
One of the best ones, really.
One of the best ones.
Look, I'll give you some money. Talk about this for an hour. That's pretty brutal.
Talk about the wedding singer. Someone commission the wedding singer, please. Just putting it out
God.
There.
Yeah.
Okay. That's patreon.com/fancritical. Now, let's jump into the plot of episode 5, We Light the Way.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, we open up at Runestone, where we finally get to see the bronze bitch, Lady Rhea Royce. Not my words, bronze bitch, okay? That is totally Damon's words. We then see her riding and hunting until she bumps into Damon, who proceeds to paralyze her and hit her with a rock. Go on then, John.
What's the point in this scene, honestly? What's the point?
I don't know, mate. Don't know.
Imagine paying for that. Imagine going, right, we need to get an actress in and a horse. We need to give her nice little garments because she looks good, right?
Thinking she does.
Looking pretty good. Looking pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. He made her out to be like a hag. She's not. She's just cool.
I think she's beautiful.
Yeah, I think she's like, looks like she's a catch. She's a catch as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
No, sorry, she's not your like niece. Sorry, she's not related by blood.
Yeah, actually, so don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, well, as Len said, as he keeps on saying, you know, he's obsessed with her. She's beautiful.
I've got her poster on my wall right now.
I can see it.
Just lying dead on the floor, is it?
The
whole scene felt like it could have come out of... So Michelle is, for some reason, don't ask me why, she's always got Charmed on in the background. That's like her... That's her background fodder. Mine's Peep Show. So for any American listeners...
Beautiful.
Brilliant show. I was watching it just before this pod. And Charmed is a terrible show. Obviously, we know the acting is abysmal. And the set pieces are just awful. This felt like it could have been in Charmed. Like, just an awkward conversation. Damon can have that presence without having to wear a hood, standing in such a way. You know, he can't... He doesn't have magic. He can't, like, teleport and stuff. And that's... he's not a ghost. And that's kind of, like, how it felt. The way he was standing there was like he was some, like, mythical being.
Like a wizard that can control horses, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. You shall not pass this little bit here, even though you're a beautiful woman, as Len would say.
Len can't stop going on about it.
Yeah, fucking get over it, mate.
Stunning.
So, yeah, and then she just falls off her horse. And then she's trying to give it all that while she's on the floor, saying, oh, you can't even get an erection. That's what I've heard. So why are you saying
that?
Well, I've
said
it.
What
is this obsession?
I said it. Like, John, I said it. I said that you can't get going, remember?
Yeah, well, yeah, you did say that. No, we've all said that, haven't we?
No, I said it, yeah.
It's quite clear, well, though, is it not?
That it is quite clear.
He
yeah,
can't maintain an erection.
Yeah.
So I couldn't fuck his niece.
Yeah, gutted.
Shame for you.
Yeah, what a loser. You know what I mean? So she's like, you can't get an erection. And he's like, all right, well, now I'm going to pick this rock up and do stuff.
And that'll be that.
And that's it. And it's like, just shit. Like, they might as well have just had him smash her brains in with the rock on screen. Like, and have it be like overly visceral.
Why didn't he get the dragon to eat her? Or fly off with her and dump her body somewhere? Then she'd just be gone and no one would know.
Yeah.
That's more suspicious, I think.
Horse is there. Where's she gone? Don't know. She might have fallen off a cliff. Anyway, where's my niece?
So, in the books, it says, in 115 AC, while she was hawking in the Vale, Rhea fell from a horse and cracked her skull. She died 9 days later.
Why would the front of her skull be cracked?
She died.
But, you know, she's fallen on her back, but the front of her head is smashed in. How's that happened?
Nah, he turned her over.
CSI Westeros would have a field day with this because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, what I'm saying is that in the book, yeah, it's alleged that Daemon did it. However, the timelines don't necessarily match up. Daemon at this point is still in the Stepstones. He's still occupied with that war. So there is the sort of idea that there's a bit of suspicion behind her death. But also, you know, here they've just gone, nah, he did it. Which is quite interesting, I think. And it makes sense from Damon's perspective because he wants to free himself of this marriage so that he can pursue other ways and other women. Not only his niece, but we'll see later on that he's, you know, with Laena Velaryon as well.
I do feel
so
a bit like with Damon, like there's in Game of Thrones, the quote-unquote bad characters have like light and shade, whereas I feel like he's is just... I don't know. I'm not getting much subtlety to his character.
He's a tosser, isn't he? Like, I mean,
well, yeah.
Done with him.
Wait, am I supposed to think he's cool? I don't really think he's cool.
No, I agree. I agree. I think they fucked him already, haven't they? I'm going to change my score of this episode to 3, actually.
No.
Retrospective.
No, I'm going to do it. Because now I'm sitting here and I'm like, what the hell am I doing giving these episodes 4 bloops? Like... Something can be relatively watchable and entertaining and still be 3 bloobs. I think I'm falling into that trap.
I'm changing my score. No, I'm not really.
But it's like episode 1. It was episode 1, wasn't it? Where it was like, you know, we're sitting here going, well, did Damon actually, did he toast?
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah, but it gets you thinking. It's like, is he... And we, you know, we even had that conversation. Most people seem to think he said it. I'm not entirely convinced. Well, back then I wasn't entirely convinced. I'm kind of like, why have they not just had him go, yeah, I'm glad he's dead. Yay. And then move on to the next scene. Like that's what he's become since. Just a penis, honestly.
I actually, not we need to move on, but I do think that they have painted him as a grey character, in my opinion.
Where's the good in him? Don't say the stepstones.
Now look, you're going to take this as not necessarily good. But
don't say fucking his niece.
His relationship with his niece, he's actually said some quite nice things to her.
It's
like he's been
it's
comforting.
Not...
Well, maybe, Lucy, but maybe not. We need to just wait and see about that. He might actually really like her. I've said this before. It's not just a power grab. So we'll see.
It's a bit weird, though, isn't it? I mean, come on. Not for me.
Well, look. Yeah. Well, I really like Damon. Not as a character necessarily. Not, I don't think he's a good person, but I like what Matt Smith's doing. I've said this before.
I don't think he's given enough to do, really. Like, he just sort of makes cameos, I think. I don't. And then his little voice is just not, it just doesn't carry for me. He's just not doing it for me.
Okay. All right. Okay, Lucy. Jesus. All right. Let's move on. King Viserys and Rhaenyra sail to Driftmark.
Now, that's a real man. I love Viserys.
between the princess and Selaenor, which satisfies Lord Corlys Velaryon.
He didn't do
He's
that,
seasick,
did he?
Seasick, like a real man. off screen.
Yeah, real men throw up on boats. That's a fact.
Why didn't they just fly by dragon? I just feel like the dragon should be more involved in everyday life. Yeah.
Viserys doesn't fly a dragon. Viserys doesn't fly a dragon. He hasn't ridden a dragon.
I'm aware he doesn't have a dragon, but his daughter does. Valerion. Just have a lift with her.
No, doesn't work that way.
No. Could you just take the dragon?
I understand that Dany picked up like 8 people from fucking beyond the wall, but I don't think it really
works
that
Dany
way.
Be more Dany in some ways, in other ways not.
Drogon was fucking huge at that point.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Well, see you later.
Well, Drogon was huge, but he's probably not even as big as the dragons in this show.
No,
so
but you don't know, though. You don't know.
No, I do know that. No, there is a scale.
But the scale Drogon has only gone up to A Dance of Dragons in the books.
No, but like Beleriand, for example, is like 5 times the size of Drogon.
Beleriand is the biggest one. So it's like...
Yeah, he's the best, yeah. Yeah, he's the best.
He's
commonly known as the best.
He's CEO, isn't he? That's what I've heard. But what I'm saying is like in the books, up to A Dance of Dragons, that's as big as we know he exists in the books. So he could grow to that size. Who knows?
He could, and the show.
So we're all agreed that they should have just flew. Okay, so back to the boat.
Okay, right. I thought it was interesting talking about dragons. Viserys is like, dragons will rule for 100 more years. And that's
100.
Interesting because...
At least.
Well, do you know what's funny about that? That's when the last sort of dragon dies out. So, interesting.
He's wrong again.
Words.
Oh. Well, right.
Well, he's not wrong. He's right in a way.
He means well.
So, Rhaenyra... has a little word with Laenor on the beach, and they talk about like that duck and that goose analogy.
He is a bad actor. He's not.
I told you, didn't I?
His voice. What is it with the voices in this show? Like, get a good voice.
Why are you talking about duck and goose? What does this analogy mean?
Am I the duck or am I the goose? That's not really how he speaks.
Also, I don't know why I've just put on a Hannibal Lecter accent. that's
very
kind of...
hammy. That was not... Yeah. That was better than his voice.
Tell me, Clarice. No, I thought this is interesting because in the book, Laenor and Joffrey's relationship is obviously hearsay. But here they give a little bit more context to it, like Renly and Loras.
Yeah, it's giving Loras vibes. You know,
What's the context that he's sucking his face?
Yeah, nice.
Exactly right, John. Yes, that is what I was seeing.
I feel like there's a lot more like consensual love scenes. Well, there's been like 2 in this than in Game of Thrones. A lot of sort of like rape and stuff in Game of Thrones. But this is a bit more, people are actually like affectionate towards each other and there's consent. Yay. So
gets a point for that.
Not a blueberry, just a point.
5
Definitely
bloobs.
Not a blueberry, no.
No.
So I thought it was nice to see the context anyway, because as I said, it's hearsay and it's nice to actually have a bit of depth to their relationship, because I think that really hits home later on in the episode. Pardon the pun. Before leaving King's Landing, Sir Otto warns Queen Alicent that if Rhaenyra becomes queen, her children will be considered a threat and potentially killed.
Mm.
I thought this was a bloody brilliant scene.
Yeah,
with Otto.
He's good, isn't he? He is
very good.
You know, Reese fans smashing it.
And it kind of recasts his intentions, I think, almost. Like, you can look back and think, was everything he did just for devious matters, for devious reasons, or is he actually thinking about his daughter? I think it's a little of both. His daughter,
I mean, he's
and
both.
Her
he's
protection.
Still
he threw his daughter into the fucking wolves' den.
100%.
He did.
100%. Like, come on.
But then I also think
he's like,
he now has some concern for her. And it doesn't give me, it gives me pause to think.
If I set your house alight and then I run into the house and go, come on, I want to get you out of this burning house. It's like, it's
thank you for saving my life. Yes, thank you for saving my life.
Why have you burnt this house down?
I mean, it was a good scene anyway, because it plants the seed of her looking at Rhaenyra differently and thinking she's tried to do her best by her. And now, obviously, she's got a thing. It's the same, you know. Yeah. But you think of all the mothers in Game of Thrones, Cersei, Kat, they'll do anything for their kids. Like, they'll do the worst things imaginable to kind of secure the safety of their children. So we may well see this come to play.
Mm. Well, I thought it was fantastic from what I thought it was a tender human moment from him. We haven't really seen, like John said, he's been over the top with his manipulation and stuff like that. But when he gives Alicent a little cuddle and he says, like, look, she's going to fucking kill your kids, mate. Come on. And this is the moment that...
Mate, come on, mate.
Yeah, this is... I said this in the hot take. This is Sansa-esque. You know, Alicent's very much like, oh, you know, Rhaenyra wouldn't lie to me. She swore on her dead mother's grave, and she did all these things and this stuff, and he's like, look, you've got to fucking wake up.
Wonderful acting.
Yeah, brilliant. Five bloobs. But no, this is the turning point for her, this moment here, and it carries on later in the episode, so we'll see how that goes. I've put Crispy is looking very dashing. He's got that sort of... he's smouldering, but he's got that ripped open like tunic a little bit, and his chest is poking through.
I don't like the hair still, but the rest of it.
What's wrong with the hair?
What's wrong with the hair?
Shit. It's like a weird, like, long mullety wig. Oh, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the shape of it. I don't like the shape of it at all. It
looks glorious. I want hair like that.
Wonderful hair. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. No, it's the style.
Anyway, he goes to the back of a boat and starts chatting to Rhaenyra, pleading with her to sail with him to Essos and to marry him to restore his honour. He even says, like, look, we'll get some oranges and some lemons or whatever, and, you know, we'll live off those or whatever the fuck he says to do with oranges and lemons. And she basically said, sort of refuses him, like, I'm not going to trade it in for some pile of oranges
impressions?
And a pile of lemons.
Honestly.
I have no idea.
Maggie Smith
no
is in the studio with us.
Yeah. don't run away with her, mate. She's about 100 years old. Fucking hell.
I've written here, crushing poor Crispy's heart. And then I thought Lucy would like this. I thought we could sort of freeze frame it here and say, look, you can pinpoint the exact moment where his heart breaks.
But this is really good. It's a really good performance from him and the script, because he just is so desperate and so needy. And we've seen him be very stoic and knightly and behaving sort of, you know, if we're going to draw comparisons, like Ser Jorah, you know, he's Ser Jorah, but with a bit more adrenaline and testosterone, I think, because he...
and hair.
And it kind of shows as well that she's just wanting to... Her emotions and her affections are really for Daemon. She just wants to shag him, as you would. If he was following you around and paid to do whatever you want, that is exactly what you'd be doing. Like, any of us would, I think. He's that handsome.
He's nowhere near as good as Ser Jorah.
What, looks-wise or as a person?
Just
or as an actor?
Fuck off.
Forget the looks.
Ser Jorah is very handsome as well, I have to say.
Always about that with you, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It helps. But my point is that he always like falling in love with her, and she was just looking at it as fun. But I think he's kind of not realised that it would be a quite a good situation, because the sham of the situation is her marriage to Lainor.
Lainor.
And actually they could continue this relationship that they've been having, but he obviously feels that his honour's been ruined and doesn't want to be a whore.
Yeah.
It's like, well, just
do it.
No,
but he doesn't want to be a whore. He doesn't want to be...
You're technically being paid to do it, are you? They're
like
lovers.
I wonder what the salary is of a Kingsguard. That's a good point. How many gold dragons is he getting for that a day?
Well, he's getting the one dragon that he wants to every night. So, I mean...
Oh!
Like, he can't marry anyone else, can he? That's quite sad. So he's like, well, I'm in love with you. You're getting married. I can't marry anyone because I took this bloody oath.
I think make your mind up, though. It's like he's, you know, he's taking up a position where it's like, right, you can't get married or have any kids or have sex or anything. So, all right, fair enough. I love swords and that. So I'll just walk around with my sword and my armour. Sometimes I'll open it up a bit so Len can see it. But also it's like, well, actually, you're shagging the queen on the side. So
he chose to do both. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, brilliant.
I thought it was a really good situation.
Like, oh, I don't like this sword now. Get rid of this sword and this, you know, lovely suit. Walk around naked.
His weapon of choice is a Morning Star. So,
is that what he calls it?
I bloody bet it is.
Oh.
Yes.
All right, carry on. Let's crack on to another form of weapon. A club foot. Laris, club foot strong.
Yeah. A club foot's not a weapon. It's just a disability.
Well, imagine if he hit you with that. You'd know.
I don't think he could get it above his head.
Have you done that?
He's taking it off.
Come on.
Why is he getting it above his head?
to hit me with it.
I don't know. What's he doing?
Well, he's allowed to. He's not sworn oath to not sleep with anyone. He can do whatever he wants, mate.
True. And he's making moves on Alicent here. He conveniently chats to her in a very devious way. Informing her of the moon tea that Rhaenyra had delivered. I've put here Littlefinger vibes, ?
Littlefoot.
I think he's a lot more...
Ironic.
Bigfoot. I think he's a lot more blatant. I think Littlefinger sort of...
knocking about around the tree
Sasquatch.
As well. Yeah.
I think Littlefinger was a lot more calculated and intelligent and like looked at the long game more, whereas he's just sort of sidling up to
I want to say that we think Littlefinger in the books is obviously a lot more calculated, but do you remember that scene of Littlefinger where he just goes up to Cersei and is like, knowledge is power? Like, what the fuck is that? Like, that wasn't smart. That was
stupid.
No,
it was stupid.
So,
that was season one, wasn't it? He learned.
Yeah, remember the show interpretation of Littlefinger and these sorts of characters has to be more overt. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it doesn't move the plot along quick enough. So I quite liked his interactions with her here. It's interesting
it's
to hear
fun,
more from him.
Quite a fun performance, but he really doesn't look like he could be Lionel's son because he looks like he isn't older, like younger than him, really.
Yeah. Gaz said the same thing.
I think they all
the
suffer
take,
from that a little bit, though.
I guess it's hard to have that kind of character that has that sort of, I suppose, depth to them. That's not just a very young man, but yeah, Lionel doesn't look that old. But I guess at the time, it's hard life, isn't it? Age faster.
Yeah, well, Gaz reckoned he was 6 years old when he had him, and I was like, yeah. To be fair, they look similar.
It's a bit annoying again that it's like, he's like a creepy little character and he's got like a disability. He's like, well, it's just such a tired trope. It does annoy me when they do that.
Yeah, but they're all creepy characters, aren't they? It's like...
Yeah, but he's very like over the top with his like lank black hair and his like other black clothes. Like, he's just very obviously...
And his cane. How dare he walk around with a cane?
How dare he walk around with a cane? I just don't like it when it's like disabled equals bad in these sort of shows.
Yeah, that's true. I've written in my notes here, so this is why if I had sent them to John, we'd be in trouble. I thought Alice, then questioned Crispy. No,
who the fuck
Alicent.
Is Alice?
Alicent then questions Crispy to see if he knows about Rhaenyra and Daemon.
Dear sweet Crispy.
Crispy is having a bad day, I've written here, and he stupidly confesses to him taking Rhaenyra's maidenhood and then begs for a swift death. Alicent says nothing and seemingly pardons him. I've written here, make him say it, Crispy. Never confess to anything. Make them
say that's rubbish
it.
As well, isn't it? That scene. Like that is another scene where it's like, what is this doing in this show? Or maybe this is the show. This is why I'm like, they're all free bloob, really, aren't they? You know, it's it's not that, you know, it's good. Fine. I'll watch it. I'm not going to, if someone says, oh, that House of the Dragon, what's that like? I go, it's nowhere near as good as Game of Thrones, but give it a watch. Give it a watch. It's fine. It's got the same music, so you love it. It's just
no, but
the
John,
scene.
John,
there's nothing
you're doing what Lucy
about...
did at the start.
Go on.
You're doing what Lucy did at the start. You're giving everything, you're tarring the rest of it with the same brush, whereas, you know, the back half might really surprise you.
But it won't, will it?
No, it won't.
The likelihood is that it won't.
It's just a shit scene, isn't it? It's like, it's almost like sitcom-esque. I was like, no.
It's very predictable.
Like, you can see that in Friends, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Ross, see, why have you...
What I thought was going to happen...
she
Joey,
did know.
No.
Yeah. No,
but what I thought was
going to
happen and would be more interesting was that basically she would say, did she go out and shag Daemon? And that would cause him to be like, what the fuck? So... You know,
yeah,
the queen would tell him
that's
that.
Right.
That would have been better because that's what I was expecting. Then he went, no, it's true. I shagged her. It's like, oh, okay. You've gone down that route, have you?
I feel like he's given up here. Like this is him after that conversation on the boat and he's realised that he's nothing to Rhaenyra. He essentially wants to die and we'll get on to that.
He's a bit fucking pathetic, isn't he? What's happened to him?
Yeah. Yeah. He's gone. He's
put the
he's
pussy on
a
pedestal.
Mate,
first rule. Don't do that.
Can we put that hashtag when this podcast goes
put it on
out?
T-shirts.
Pussy on a pedestal.
That is a Kendrick Lamar line, Christ. Okay? It's fine. It's art. It's culture. It's not a problem.
At a feast celebrating the forthcoming nuptials, Viserys is giving a speech and Alicent enters the hall purposefully wearing a green gown, House Hightower's signal colour, for a call to arms.
Yeah, I like how we find that out. Just someone going, do you know why she's wearing green? Apparently it's a call to arms. It's
well, Larys again.
It's very fucking
Sasquatch
pointed, isn't
himself.
It? Whole big
yeah,
foot.
I mean, that's...
that's very beneath Game of Thrones. It's just a bit stupid.
Well, really... It does happen quite a lot, though. And again, if you go back to season one, there's a lot of that.
I just remember it being perfect and there were no mistakes in any of Game of Thrones' first four seasons.
If you think of, like... even like when Littlefinger's constantly talking to Sansa, he's like, oh, do you know
the,
that is? That's the mountain. Yeah. They're brothers.
But it makes more sense wouldn't know though than other people who are at court at a wedding that are adults. I get.
No, but who was he telling? He was telling Clubfoot, wasn't he?
Clubfoot was telling.
Harwin.
Was it the other way? Was it
Harwin? His
brother. Clubfoot was telling Harwin. Yeah.
Well, then there you go. Harwin's probably distracted. You know, breaking stuff. He's a tough guy, isn't he?
Break bones.
Yeah. Staring up, isn't he?
So I've put here that this is the end of naive Alicent. This is her war cry. In the beginning of the Greens versus the Blacks, John.
Mm.
This is it. This is it right here. Anyone for a bit of context, the Civil War centres around the Greens and the Blacks. The Greens represented by Alicent.
Can you stop with these spoiler warnings? You're just obsessed,
it's coming,
isn't
it?
Like, people know that we know.
I don't have
to tell them that we know. No, Lucy, you shouldn't know. You shouldn't know.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
forget. I won't
we'll get on to that later.
Just go,
feedback, actually.
Who are the Blacks? This is the thing, isn't it? You'll find out next episode, I'd imagine. It was good though, like that John, that set piece of her in that flowing dress.
She looked great.
Yeah.
Nice colour.
Wonderful. Beautiful.
She did look beautiful.
Yeah.
Stunning. John, I've written here, and Lucy, this will annoy you because it seemed like you were annoyed earlier in the episode, but Mushroom He's bloody in the show, isn't he?
I did see a little person.
Yeah.
Playing the drums all or juggling or something.
Juggling? Yeah. What sort of a musician is that? Fucking hell.
What are you playing? The Juggles.
Yeah. My name's Mr. Jingles. Is it? Oh, it's Mushroom, isn't it?
It's Mr. Juggles.
That is mental. When he popped up, little fella playing the drums, I was like, they haven't, have they? And I had to I watched it quite a few times.
That is good, though.
Yeah, and do you know why he was in it? I don't think he's going to be in it again. So he's not going to play the part that he does in the books that, Len, you've alluded to in other podcasts. But it was Paddy, wasn't it? Paddy was like, can we get him at the wedding? Because his character's brilliant. So apparently they did it as a favour to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. You know,
can he have some lines? No. He's just going to be playing the drums.
Absolutely not.
Not really what I meant.
No, he's juggling.
Yeah. Can we pay him? No. I can juggle. Hey, get out of here. That's an actor, fuck's sake. So he's not going to be in it again, I don't think. But it's good, though.
I love seeing him. It's a good nod for book readers. And yeah, like, huge character in the books. Like,
well, he's a dwarf, isn't he?
Well, so... yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. But I just mean that, like, his interpretation of events is kind of transpiring in the show. So it's very fascinating to me that they've gone down the more sordid, mushroomy, fungi type route.
Oi.
Because he's a fungus, isn't he?
No, so I'll tell you what about Mushroom. He's a fun guy. Yeah, so don't.
Get that. Sir Geralt Royce confronts Daemon, claiming he murdered his cousin Rhea. Daemon denies this and demands he inherit his wife's wealth. I thought it was quite funny. Here he's like, oh, by the way, when do I get Runestone, by the way? He's like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, we had no heirs. Technically, it's mine.
Would so Geralt not have known that, Eerie. Though? Would that not be like,
yeah, you fucking know, hell.
Common knowledge?
What an amateur. He was a tosser, to be honest. Imagine that. Imagine going there and feeling fairly confident this person has killed one of your family members. And then he goes, well, she's dead now, so I get that, don't I? I'll just go back and sit down.
I'll just slink off, yeah.
Fuck me.
Well, I think the idea behind this scene is it's misdirection. So it's trying to make you think that later on, the scuffle that's happening is between these two, which I definitely did think. I was like,
I didn't think that.
Trying to knife Daemon on the dance floor.
Murder on the dance floor.
Because the last thing we see, yeah. So that's why I think it's here. But let's move on.
I didn't think that at all.
And I'm the best. So
I certainly didn't think it was Crispy going mental, but. You call me an incel? Fuck you. Yeah. So there you go.
I think the whole wedding scene is very well constructed. Like I said, I think, you know, John mentioned it and alluded to it already. The green wedding. So we've had the red wedding, the purple wedding, and now the green wedding. And I was constantly on edge. I did think the music was a bit interesting. I said this in the hot take, you know, the drum music with the hay. I was like, oh, this is a weird
little... Yeah, it was quite like disconcerting.
Hey.
And their dance. Yeah. I was like, I'm not getting any like celebratory vibes from this. It all just looks like a weird ritual.
I've written here in the notes, Laenor's lover, Sir Geoffrey Lonmouth, realises that Sir Criston loves Rhaenyra and smugly suggests... they guard each other's secrets. Criston, infuriated, fatally beats Joffrey until his head literally caves in.
Why has he done that?
Too much,
all right,
isn't it?
A couple of things to talk about here. What the fuck is everyone thinking at this wedding? Like, why are they all so overt and not subtle in any way, shape, or form?
Why?
You've got Laenor literally like basically going up to
nuzzling
paramour,
him.
Joffrey.
Come on, guy.
Nuzzling him on the dance floor. You've got Daemon trying to fucking get off with Rhaenyra on the middle of the dance floor.
That was really bad.
That was mental. Like, what is going on here? Can people act with a bit more restraint? Fuck me.
There's no couth whatsoever. It's all so uncouth. I think, my interpretation was that Criston saw them. And that's what provoked his outrage.
Ooh, Damon and Rhaenyra.
He realises, yeah, okay, that's actually, like, she's not going to leave with me. Wow. She wants to be with him. I'm going to kill that gay guy. I'm just going to take it out on him.
That's interesting.
That's what I thought.
That's interesting. And to be honest with you, it would have been better then if what had happened in the earlier scene with Alicent, like, he finds out about Damon there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, I should have written this bit.
And, yeah, maybe, Lucy. Maybe we'll hire you for season two. Get that five bloob episode. So
zero bloobs.
This is fascinating because in the books, and this isn't a spoiler, Joffrey is killed by Crispy. And it's at a 7 days of tournamenting, which happens in the lead up to the wedding.
Tournamenting.
So it's a
but
bit
it's a
more
much more acceptable.
Valid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does he? Do we think he kills him?
Crispin goes too far.
But do we think in the book he kills him out of some similar motivation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
The idea, and we've talked about Mushroom a lot, but the idea is that one day Kristen and Rhaenyra are thick as thieves, and then the next day they're enemies and they don't get on very well at all. And you don't really know why. The rumours are from Mushroom is because Daemon was, sneaking Rhaenyra off, getting into her room and teaching her all of the sexual arts so that she could then impress Sir Kristen. She goes to Sir Kristen and says, look, I've learned all these things for you. Let me show you a good time. And he rejects her flat out. And upholds his honor and then thinks that she's not the princess that he knew. That is the general sort of reasoning.
Quite a lot of judgment
in the book.
Of like women having fun. Like him, Alicent.
That's right.
Like, why?
No, I know.
Why is Alicent so angry at her?
But the book is not, as I said, it's an encyclopedic type text, but the interpretations of events is completely up to hearsay. Like, you're hearing from fucking Mushroom and then some other maester or something, you know what I mean? So you don't necessarily know what happened or what transpired. And now we've got the wiggle room to figure out why Kristen behaves the way he did. In terms of why he beats Joffrey to death, why do we think that is here?
Well, I reckon when he was talking to him, said, look, you know, let's guard each other's secrets. And he's a bit like, who's this guy? I don't even know. You know, I reckon he squeezed his bum as well just after that.
Oh, God.
And then he walked off.
Because they're so obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm not having this. You know, this has been a terrible day for me. You know, I've been cuckolded. Now I'm having to see this guy who's clearly gay marrying the person that I want to marry. I'm going to smash someone's face in. That's what happened. And it does happen.
It does. I think, and I said this to Gaz was like, this is an over the top reaction. And I was like, well, yes, this is an over the top reaction.
It's definitely over the top.
It's an over the top reaction. It's an overreaction.
There's no defending. It is a hate crime, like Lucy said. I think it comes across quite badly on screen in terms of
the
like
murder.
Some of the messaging here.
Now, do you know what, mate? You've honestly, I don't want to be out of order here. You've sort of spoiled this wedding.
It's cast you in a bad light.
Because that guy you kicked off with earlier, have you seen him? Because you have smashed his face to bits. His head doesn't exist anymore.
And no one
the groom's
could stop
very
him.
Upset.
No one could stop
him. Well, you wouldn't, would you?
No, but like Kristen, he wants to die. Like this is for him,
so lame.
Him killing himself. And we see it later in the episode. He's like, I don't give a fuck what happens to me anymore. I deserve to die. I've given up. Everything I thought was real is a fucking lie. So I'm just going to smash this guy's face in because...
Very emo.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's still quite young, remember? He's not necessarily
the oldest. Do you think his hair's going to change in the next episodes? He's going to comb it forward.
Yeah,
a little.
Crew cut.
Looking forward to that.
And look... Like I like Kristen, and I said I think he's had a lot to do this episode, but this is a huge turning point for him, obviously. And I feel sorry for the guy, but I also can't defend his actions here because they're disgusting. So tough one.
It's not a tough one, is it? He's fucking. No. Look,
it doesn't just nothing that's happened to him justifies what he does. He's upset that his,
of course not. No.
The princess, who he knew was a princess, he knew would have to marry someone else. He knew he probably shouldn't be shagging, has to marry someone else because she has to, because that's the law. Oh, and now he's upset and he goes and kills someone that said, oh, actually, we can look out for them because I love him and you love her. What's he even done that's wrong?
Yeah, but
bit annoying.
How arrogant is Joffrey in this? Well,
it's a bit arrogant.
But how arrogant is Joffrey
in this
situation?
There's not a death sentence for arrogance. You can't just go and whack someone's head in because they're a bit annoying and arrogant.
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is, if everyone had just been fucking more chill at this wedding, like in terms of just not going up to people and going, oh, I know you're fucking the princess.
The one that was not chill was Crispy. He had no chill. Zero chill was found.
Well, he's not in it for the games, is he? He's a knight. He doesn't really understand what's going on. He just reacts
would
stupidly.
It have made a little bit more sense if it was like the wedding was a little bit darker and it was like hours late. Everyone's pissed. Like you get like slow, like the camera movement's a bit out of it and you've got fast pace and you're kind of struggling to, you like everyone is hammered here, clearly.
Yeah,
the problem is, it seems like this has happened about 20 minutes into the ceremony. So it's like, has anyone even had a drink yet?
I actually thought that, obviously I haven't read the books, that Daemon was going to try and abscond with Rhaenyra while this was all going down.
Yeah.
As a diversion, and then she's just gone and Viserys is like, where is Rhaenyra? And he goes and marries her at Dragonstone or wherever because he's single now. Single and ready to mingle.
That's good.
With his niece.
Good
well, point. Here's a question for you, Luce. So when Rhaenyra is saying, you know, why don't you just take me away and marry me on Dragonstone? Do you think that she meant that?
I think she meant it, but she was goading him and seeing how far will you go? What are your intentions? Are you really about that life? Are you really going to do what it takes to make me yours? Or are
but
you just
if he
doing
went,
it?
If he went, all right, well, I've ordered an Uber, so
she would have gone with him. She'd have gone with him. She'd have split the fare and she'd be there. I think so.
Well,
so I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, he's taken his niece to a brothel. He's getting all up on her and he can't follow through.
What a guy.
And then he kind of puts these moves on her at her wedding. And then she's like, go on then. Go on then.
Go on, you think you're so good.
And then, take me and marry me. And then he's like, yeah, that's another thing about him. I think I just find a bit weaselly and not like. that's the worst part of him. No, it's just he has this quite a lot of bravado, and then when it comes to it, he's like, can't follow through.
Well, I've written here that Laenor is obviously devastated by Joffrey's death.
It's like the saddest fucking wedding ever.
Yeah.
He's still got like his frontal cortex on his fucking like shirt. The love of his life. They both look so like harrowed. They're like, oh God.
It might not necessarily be the love of his life. It's just the guy's fucking like.
Yeah, but I feel like they were good companions.
No, they grew up together and this is the love of his life.
No,
like,
but I'm talking like if you're watching this as a viewer, you know, just, you know, as it's just, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, come on.
Yeah. Okay. Agreed. To avert additional scandal, Rhaenyra and Laenor are privately wed. And I actually thought that I've written here that Laenor's acting improved during this minute or so of television.
Good on him. Turn out for a minute.
Good on him.
He didn't really have to speak, did he?
Well, Daemon can't even do that. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying.
A frail Viserys collapses immediately after.
And dies again.
Could they cut his arm off, or do you think he'd die? Wouldn't that solve a lot?
What sort of
wouldn't that solve a lot of problems?
This?
It's the medieval times, sort of.
I know, but cut his arm off.
Well, it's a risk, isn't it? Like you can't guarantee that. like nowadays in modern medicine, even if you chop someone's arm off, you're not going to guarantee that they're going to survive.
Yeah. Didn't mind doing it to his wife, did he? Sort of
there you go, Doctor Alex Leonard. There, I like that. I like that you started that with going, it's a risk, isn't it? Yeah, it is a risk. If you cut someone's arm off, yes, it would be.
How long do you think he's going to last? Now, bearing in mind, we know the next time jump is roughly 10 years. Will he be there?
If he's still alive, bit stupid, isn't it?
I said to Gaz, and I think they've gone too hard on him being ill, this ill now.
Because he wasn't that ill to begin with, and now his arm is like completely
rotten. He's all right at the wedding.
Oh, yeah. Great spirits. It was like, I suppose the times go on quite fast, don't they? Like, you'll be like, oh, the next episode's 2 years on.
Good sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an English graduate, so yeah. That's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look, the times go on too fast.
Quite fast, I think, is what I said.
It's a new song.
The times, they are going quite fast. Bob Dylan, yeah. B-side.
Yeah, yeah.
B-deals. No,
but they've gone a bit mad, like with the Gaz said it's leprosy because Paddy Considine, whatever you call him, has said that.
Paddy constantly dying.
But that's wrong. That's wrong. I mean, I don't know if you get leprosy from a cut, but it's because he was cut on the Iron Throne and the infection spread and it's spreading throughout his body. And
cut his head off,
isn't
it?
Well, I can't see in this current state how he'd survive 10 more years because he's fucked.
Cut his arm off.
So it's going to be very interesting. And the other thing to note is like if we think that his death is kind of around the end of the season, he's got to survive another fucking 4 episodes. What the fuck? How?
He's got to die next episode, surely.
I really like his character, but yeah, they've kind of advanced the illness so much that it's like, or he might just be like bedbound, just like sort of in the background. And they're like, "How's the king?" Yeah, don't talk about it. We don't talk about the king.
Do you still want Rhaenyra to inherit the throne? Yeah, just blink one for yes. That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got no eyes. I've put here.
There's a juxtaposition here between the wedding and also Sir Crispy, about to kill himself in the Godswood over his misdeed. As he's just about to commit the act, Queen Alicent intervenes and says, "Sir Criston." What do we think about that?
What does she want? What's she planning with him?
What is she planning?
Sexual reasons.
Well, yes, I assume that's part of it. No, why not? She hasn't been able to have a hot girl summer. She's had to shag a dying old man since she was like 15.
With a manky arm.
One scabby arm.
Manky
yeah.
back as well.
She deserves a bit of fun.
Manky back.
Mank man.
I really don't know what her intentions are. I guess it's a weapon against Rhaenyra.
100%.
But what
driving
would actually
a wedge
happen
between those
if
two?
If people found out that she'd shagged Sir Criston, what would happen to her?
Yep.
What's the misdeed?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing will happen to Rhaenyra, but Criston will be executed and gelded.
But what? So why is he like a bargaining chip? Or does he give her leverage? Like, I don't understand the motivation behind.
She's
it.
Obviously got.
Other than wanting to shag him,
feelings.
I get that, but I don't get anything else.
Well, Rhaenyra's obviously got feelings for Criston in some respect, maybe
she
not
cares
love,
about him.
But she's very affectionate and she cares about him. To then take, it's like a game of chess. You've taken their piece, but you've actually put it on your
side of the knight. You could say the knight. That would have really worked.
Yeah.
It's
quite a good analogy.
Yeah.
Oh, my little piece.
But no, like, think about it this way. Criston was loyal. They've been together for years. And then now he's on Alicent's side. So, or we believe he will be. I'm pretty sure when you see the time jump, he's going to be firmly anti-Rhaenyra. So that's pretty huge. And don't forget, he's a very skilled fighter. One of the most skilled. So he beat Daemon. And Daemon at this time is regarded as... He's a sort of Jaime Lannister type character. Probably the best swordsman in the realm up there. For sure, as being one of the best fighters. So, you know, it's not stupid from Alicent. It's very savvy. And that's what we're learning about her now. She's gone from stupid Alicent to savvy Alicent. You know? So there we go.
Yeah. Naive, I'd say, rather than stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's young.
Nah, she's stupid.
She's really young.
Stupid. She's dumb.
She's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I was stressed, though.
Has anyone got anything they want to add before we move on to feedback?
No, let's go straight into feedback, please.
Of course, you can write into us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the episode. You could also get in touch with us on socials. All the links to all of that jazz is in the show notes. Melanie, our new Patreon, has had this to say. Your most recent House of the Dragon podcast for episode 4 had me in tears. Yeah, I love that your podcast structure for all your shows has the rating scale, but still feels like friends just talking over a drink. I'm really enjoying this new show. Of course, we do have, sorry to interrupt, Melanie, we do have the rating scale, but John has decided to bastardize it this episode and change his score mid-episode, which is bizarre.
Brave, isn't it?
Won't count.
Brave.
Back to what Melanie had to say. After episode 5, it really feels like we're back in the Game of Thrones world. I bet there's a lot of regret for the cast and crew of the original Game of Thrones at the way Benioff and Weiss ended the series. I can't wait to hear your review. Thanks, Melanie. Lovely, lovely words.
Very nice.
We've talked at length about Benioff and Weiss and how they selfishly
ruined our lives,
car crashed the show by their, oh, we don't want to do this anymore, so we're just going to rush it and do it in as least time as possible. and in hindsight, I think HBO would have taken the property off of them and given it to someone competent, like another showrunner. There was no harm in that. It's a huge, huge mistake, and I'm sure they'll learn from that in the future. Do you think, guys, if they get the opportunity again?
Don't care.
Wow.
They've already ruined our lives for like a period of time. So
yeah, here's a question. Just on the back of that, if, and there's been this, you know, it's been a rumor. It's not even a rumor. It's just what people want for them to reshoot season 8, the whole thing again, and re-script it and maybe make it 10 seasons. What's your opinion on that?
Stupid. I'm over it now. No, it's done. It's, it doesn't matter.
It's gone now. It's gone.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. I just thought I'd be there for it.
Would you though?
Personally.
Then what if it's still not good? You'd be like, why has this happened?
Then I'd be like, at least you tried.
Be like Sir Criston stabbing yourself in the stomach in the Godswood.
You'd find me in the Godswood.
Let's have an animated series of Game of Thrones. Once
an anime.
Yeah, once Winds of Winter comes out. In the next like
2043,
let's have that. I'll watch that. They'll do Duncan Egg, I'm sure, and I think they'll probably do that animated, and that'll go down like a storm because it's a brilliant story, and everyone will go, oh yeah, let's more of this, and then they'll just go, oh fuck it, we'll just do Game of Thrones again, and everyone will go, yay.
Lovely. Joseph Weaver's got this to say, and this is relating to a show that we used to cover. That isn't Watchmen, John. Hey, Fan Critical, I've been listening to the podcast for the past couple of years and absolutely love it. I actually found you when looking for a podcast covering Castle Rock when the first season came out. Lucy, this one's for you. Shame Emma couldn't be with us as well, because obviously she play loves it, doesn't she? Stephen King and that. Mm. While season 2 was disappointing, Lucy, he wants to bring our attention to a show called Chapelwaite. Yeah? Have you heard of this show?
I have not.
Stars Adrian Brody. It's another Stephen King adaptation. So just as a reference, we did a lot of Stephen King adaptations because we were quite into a horror. And if you do want to check those out, they're all on the channel. And we've got our own dedicated channel called Castle Rock Critical. But Lucy and Emma went on a bit of a crusade, didn't they, John, where they just started reviewing so many different Stephen King adaptations.
Anything and everything, wasn't it?
It was fun. It was good.
The old witches.
It was fun.
Yeah, sort of varying effects. Well, some are pretty good. Some are like, you know, classics of the genre.
Some are terrible.
Some are just unwatchable.
Yeah.
But still fun.
Yeah. So this is Chapelwaite, and Joseph says, while it came out in 2021, I'm not sure if it aired in the UK or Australia. However, it's... quiet popularity has led to a season 2 in development. Whether or not it's something you'd choose to cover in our show, it's definitely something that you King fans should watch. It says a very strong 4 bloob.
Ooh.
Now, Joseph, we can't have that. We can't have strong 4 bloobs. They are flat 4s, flat 3s,
four or
flat
5s.
Yeah. Mm. But thanks, Joseph. We're glad that you still listen to all of our content from that show. And I'm sure we've got a few listeners from that show. And I'm sure Lucy and Emma will take that into consideration. If Emma,
pressure.
Chapelwaite, check
it
out.
I'm going to Google it at the very least.
Definitely. And finally, Richard F. has been in touch. Hey guys, I've been following you since you covered the last season of GOT. That's Game of Thrones. Look forward to your reviews every week. This time round, I think only John and Len have read Fire and Blood. Is that right? Are Lucy, Emma and Gaz going to stay unsullied and only show viewers? Quite like having a mixture of views from you guys this time round. Keep
that
up
is,
the bloops.
My current plan is to remain unsullied by book reading.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's a good balance. I think it's a good, well, say for like season two or season three of House of the Dragon, I think it's a good balance to have a few of us that are just show watchers.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the podcast is better for it because you guys are seeing some things that me and John might necessarily disagree with or, you know, be like, nah, that's not going to happen. But then they're not taking the books verbatim. So
I enjoy you just going, no, it does happen. That is, no, it is true. No, no, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I like you going, like that's when he dies in
I like
four
you giving
episodes.
Absolutes on it. It's quite enjoyable for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think maybe one of them will read the book. I think Emma has ordered it.
If I had to put money on someone reading it, it would be Emma.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe Gaz and Lucy will stay Shonleys. Shonleys.
Lonely Shonleys.
Lonely Shonleys. And that's it for feedback this week. Of course, we've gone long, so just cutting it off there because, you know, it's bloody so early in the morning here. I've still got to edit this thing. And, you know, as I've said, I'm bloody ill, aren't I? So it's a lot of work. I'm saying that again. But thank you to Lucy and John. And thank you to you, dear listeners. Of course, please do write into us, fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Be a legend like Melanie and join the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/fancritical. Every link is in the show notes, people. I want to say thank you to Lucy and to John.
Thank you.
You may reply
thank
now.
Thank you, Len.
Thank you, too. Len.
No worries. I'm going to go
I hope you feel better smash. Soon.
Yeah. I'm going to get some more leeches all over me and stop the spread of this
get
illness.
Some moon tea. That'll get it out of you. Trust me.
Jesus Christ. What do you think I've been up to?
I don't know. You look pretty pale.
Fucking hell. Yeah, we didn't even mention that, did we? You know. Didn't mention I was spot on about that last episode, but you know, it doesn't matter.
What did you say? What did
well,
you
I
say?
Said that would be the driver. It doesn't matter whether or not she took the moon tea or not. It
correct.
Would be that Alicent
yes.
would find out and that would be the thing that fucks the
that's
relationship
right.
up. So, yeah. you know.
She's damned if she does and damned if she
damn
doesn't.
Straight. Yeah, I don't damn straight. I don't want to add son. Anything to the end of this, but do
I'm
you
going,
think...
I'm going
to. Sorry.
but I'm going to, yeah.
So, Clubfoot fella.
Sasquatch, yeah.
Did he... Bigfoot, yeah. Did he... do you think it was him that sent the moon tea? Some people are speculating that it was him rather than the king.
I don't think he can. He can't give any orders to Grand Maester. The only person that Grand Maester listens
no,
to
but
is
if
the
he
hand
went
of the king.
To, no, but if he went to the Grand Maester and went, apparently,
Dad says,
King Dad said, if you could send us some moon tea, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. I think that's what we call false information, John, and I will not promote that on this podcast. Oh. Okay.
Love for it to come
so,
up.
So lies.
And when it yeah. does happen, the episode will come up and Len will be like, and we correctly guessed that it was no. yeah. Good. Anyway,
well, thank you guys, and thanks for that little extra bit of rumour mongering at the end of the episode, John. Really appreciate that.
Well content.
We'll catch you on the next hot take for episode 6, where we are having, of course, a time jump, so we'll have the older actresses. It's going to be very interesting. How will the show cope? Because I think the younger actresses have done a fantastic job. Before we sign off, I think we should all congratulate them. Isn't that right,
well
guys?
Done,
they
girls.
Have done brilliantly.
You smashed it.
Girl well done,
smashed
ladies.
It. Absolutely smashed it.
Well done, you absolutely beautiful ladies. It.
Beautiful, gorgeous girls.
Stunning. Stunning.
Stunning.
Yeah. all right, guys. We'll catch you on the next one. See you later.
Bye.
Mate.
See ya.